الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We begin reading this morning, seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The chapter, the author, he mentioned Adabu al-Mudarris. Adabu al-Mudarris. The manners and the etiquettes of the teacher. The manners and the etiquettes of the teacher. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he began with the teacher. The manners of the teacher, of the mudarris, of the muallim, of the ustad, of the sheikh, the one who is teaching and clarifying and spreading the knowledge, the alim. And this is because the teacher, he is the role model with regards to the sphere of knowledge. And he is the foundation and the fundamental. And he is the one that the knowledge is taken from. And from the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon a person in this life is that he will be given success to a noble and an upright teacher that will guide him and direct him and help him and clarify for him that which is correct from that which is falsehood. It has been narrated from Ibn Shawthib, Abdullah ibn Shawthib, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, من نعمة الله على الشاب والعجم إذا تنسكا أن يوفقا لصاحب سنة يحملهما عليها لأن الشاب والعجم يأخذ فيهما من سبق إليهما. Ibn Shawthib, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, from the blessing of Allah upon a youth, from the blessing of Allah upon a young man, yani a young woman likewise, and an a'jami, the non-Arab. What is intended in Allah knows best is a non-Muslim, whenever he accepts Islam. From the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the youth or someone who is new to Islam, the light sight is, whenever they begin to traverse upon the path of worship and to strive to worship and draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they will be given success to a person of the sunnah that will carry them upon that way. That will carry them upon that way. مَن نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَى الشَّابِ وَالْعَجَمِ إِذَا تَنَسَّكَا أَنْ يُوَفَّقَا لِصَاحِبِ السُنَّةِ يَحْمِلُهُمَا عَلَيْهَا يَحْمِلُهُمَا عَلَيْهَا. Because this person of the sunnah, he will carry them upon that way. He will carry them, and he would encourage them, and he would direct them, and he would direct them to that which is correct. And he mentioned the wisdom behind that. لِأَنَّ الشَّابَ وَالْعَجَمِ يَأْخُذُ فِيهِمَا مَن سَبَقَ إِلَيْهِمَا. Because the one who is young, and likewise the one who is a new Muslim, then they are highly affected by the first one that comes to them. And the first one who introduces the ideology and the creed, or the methodology, or the manners and the conduct, they're highly affected by the individual. They're the ones who plant that seed. So the fact that a person is given success to an upright and a noble, well-mannered teacher who was upon the correct path and the correct aqidah and the correct understanding and correct methodology, along with that in application as well and display of the noble and the lofty manners and conduct, this is from the greatest blessing. This is from the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is for this reason, because of the reality of the virtue of the scholar, the virtue of the teacher, and the importance of his role in benefiting the ummah and clarifying the truth and commanding the good and forbidding the evil and also clarifying the falsehood and the lies like this, his status and his rank in the society in general and likewise in the ummah is something that is major. And that which will clarify that even in greater detail is what has been collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَبْعَثْنِي مُعَنِّتًا وَلَا مُتَعَنِّتًا وَلَكِنْ بَعَثَنِي مُعَلِّمًا مُيَسِّرًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that indeed Allah, he did not send me as مُعَنِّتًا وَلَا مُتَعَنِّتًا. يعني مُعَنِّتًا, he didn't send me مُتَشَدِّدًا, making it hard on the people. He didn't send me to make it hard on the people and to make it difficult and try to force them or coerce them to do things that they're not able to do. And the likes like this, Allah didn't send the messenger with this purpose or with this reason, nor to seek out the faults of the people or try to make it difficult for them to where they cannot bear, But rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَلَكِنْ بَعَثَنِي مُعَلِّمًا مُيَسِّرًا. But Allah, He has sent me as a teacher and one who facilitates and clarifies and makes it easy for the people. The one who facilitates and clarifies and makes it easy for the people. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent as a teacher. And indeed, he was the best teacher. And his teachings were the best teachings. And his methodology of teaching likewise, and the behavior and the ways that he followed with regards to that as well, were the best ways. And that which he was upon himself from those teachings in application, he was the best example and role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest role model. The greatest role model. Likewise, has been connected by Imam Muslim from the Haditha Muawiyah ibn al-Hakim radiyallahu anhu. The famous story, whenever it's mentioned, he came to Salah radiyallahu anhu, and in the prayer he began speaking. And the story is well known. He began speaking, saying, Yarhamukallah, and the likes like this, in the middle of the prayer. And the companions, they were trying to get him to be quiet. They were trying to get him to be quiet, slapping their thighs and the likes like this, and looking at him and indicating to him that it's not allowed to speak in the prayer. But he was unaware of this affair. At this time, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakim radiallahu anhu, he was unaware of this affair. He did not have knowledge of this ruling. He was ignorant about this particular issue here. So in the end, he was silent. In the end, he was silent, and the prayer was finished. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to him and he said to him what he said to him. And he advised him and he directed him in the most beautiful way. He advised him and he directed him in the most beautiful way. And Muawiyah ibn al-Hakim, he said about this, radiyallahu anhu, he said, فَبِي أَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبَلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدُهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ. He said, I sacrificed my father and my mother for him. I have never seen a teacher before him nor after him better in teaching than him. I have never seen a teacher. مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبَلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدُهُ وَلَا بَعْدُهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ. I never seen anyone, not before him and not after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was better in teaching and in cultivating and raising than him. He said, radiyallahu anhu, fa wallahi ma kaharani wa la darabani wa la shatabani. He said, I swear by Allah, he was not harsh to me, he was not rude to me, he did not strike me, he did not curse me out or call me names, and he did not belittle him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, for example, didn't know you can't speak in the prayer? What are you, an idiot? What are you, ignorant? These types of words didn't come from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even whenever a person, sometimes the most obvious affairs that it's not proper or right, and it's clearly, and the prayer is not the place to speak. But likewise, even whenever the individual, the Arabi, he came into the masjid of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed urine in one of the places in the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, likewise, he did not belittle him, and he was not harsh with him. He was not rude with him. Rather, he said, "Let him finish." Rather, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Let him finish." And the benefits that are derived from the likes of these narrations are major and great. Rather, principles that the religion is founded on and based upon are derived from the likes of these events and the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam handled these affairs. And no doubt, this is a bad affair. This is a bad affair, but if it's handled in the wrong manner, it will become worse very quickly. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he solved these problems, these issues that were bad situations, and he kept them from becoming worse, and he rectified that affair with the best and the noble manner, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, he did not curse me, he did not hit me, he was not rude to me or harsh to me. قَالَ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةَ لَا يَسْلُحُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنْ كَلَامِ النَّاسِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ التَّسْبِيحُ وَالتَّكْبِيرُ وَكِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Muawiyah ibn al-Hakim now, radiyallahu anhu, after speaking in their prayer like this, he said, this prayer, this salat here, it's not proper to, the words of the people is not proper in this salat whatsoever. It's not correct to say anything from the words of the people, any of the speech of the worldly life. He said, the only thing that is proper is to glorify Allah and to praise Him and to magnify Him and to recite the Quran. And so he told him that this is not proper and what he did was not correct. And then he directed him to that which is proper, and he clarified that to him in the best manner, and it was finished. And it was finished until he said about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I never seen anyone better at teaching than him. I never seen a teacher teaching any better teaching than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not before him and not after him. And not after him. So this is the example and the role model. And also, yani those who are upon that way as well, they must abide by the likes of these manners. And the true teacher, he is the one who is teaching the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he himself, he is upon that way. And he himself, he is upon that way, inwardly and outwardly. And this is the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we have seen before. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah, he mentioned about his Messenger that indeed you are upon a lofty and high and great status of manners. And this is an example of that. And this is an example of that specifically while teaching and educating the people. Specifically while teaching and educating the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not harsh. Rather, he was kind and he was merciful. And Allah azza wa jalla, he mentioned about this, I mentioned about his Prophet this likewise in his book. Whenever he said, فَبِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. That it was from the mercy of Allah that you were kind and gentle with them. And had you been rude and harsh-hearted, then they would have fled from you. And had you been rude and harsh-hearted, they would have fled from you. So it's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was gentle and he was kind. And this was the foundation of his teaching. And whenever the people made errors or mistakes because of ignorance and the likes like this, and they were unaware of the rulings, he did not belittle them or harm them. Rather, he corrected them in the best manner. And likewise, Allah, he clarified this affair as well. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy to mankind. So he was not harsh, and he was not rude, and he did not teach the people and with belittlement. He did not correct the people by calling them names or putting them down or the likes like this. Rather, he was gentle, he was calm, and he was kind, and he was nice. And first and foremost, this is proceeding from hoping good for the people. From hoping good for the people. He's wanting good for the people. The one who wants good for somebody, whenever he advises them, he will not advise them harshly and rudely, especially not the first time. Especially not the first time. No doubt, in certain circumstances and situations, harshness could be legislated. And this can likewise be found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's not the first thing. And it's not the foundation. And it's not the first conduct and manner. But rather, the origin is to be kind and to be gentle and to be forbearing and to be patient and to deal with the people in the easiest way. And to deal with the people in the easiest way. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adam al-Ethiopi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he commented on this narration here, yani that Allah, he did not send the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as someone being harsh or being rude or making it hard on the people. Rather, he was sent as a teacher and want to facilitate and to make easy for the people. He says, فَيَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَقَ بِأَخْلَاقِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فِي الرِّفْقِ بِالْجَاهِلِ وحسن تعليمه وتقريب الصواب وتقريب الصواب إلى فهمه إلى فهمه. So it's incumbent and very befitting for everyone who has hope in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter that they take on the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being gentle with the ignorant people and in having a good and noble conduct while teaching and educating and cultivating the people and making it easy and facilitating the correct understanding for the people. And this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's the right understanding and the wrong understanding. And sometimes maybe the student or maybe someone's family members or those under their care, they'll fall in the wrong understanding. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would help them to understand the correct understanding and to understand that their understanding was wrong. And direct them to that which is proper. But he would do that in the easiest way. He would do that in the most facilitated way. He would do that without going to extremes or without raising his voice or without making the individual feel shameful or feel shy and the likes like this. So this is something to realize and to know. So the status of the teacher in al-Islam is a great status. The teachers, they must be honored, they must be respected. Those who are known to be upright and those who are known to be good and those who have great benefit for the society, they have a lofty status in al-Islam. They have a lofty status in al-Islam. It was mentioned to Abu Hanifa, رحمه ta'ala. It was said, يعني في المسجد حلقة ينظرون في الفقه. Somebody came to Abu Hanifa, رحمه الله تعالى, in year 150. He said, in the masjid, there are individuals, they're sitting in circles of knowledge, and they're studying fiqh. And they're studying fiqh. And together, the Islamic rulings and jurisprudence. فَقَالَ أَلَهُمْ رَأْسٌ. Abu Hanifa, he asked, رحمه الله, أَلَهُمْ رَأْسٌ. يعني أَلَهُمْ مُعَلِّمْ. Do they have a teacher with them? Do they have a teacher with them? قَالُوا لَا. They said, no, they don't have a teacher with them. They're just sitting there studying by themselves. So he said, رحمه الله, لَا يَفْقَهُ هَؤُلَاءِ أَبَدًا. These individuals, they will never get understanding in their religion ever. These individuals here, they will never gain an understanding in their religion ever. And this is the case. There's a must for a teacher. The teacher is a must, especially with Islamic knowledge. Especially with Islamic knowledge. There has to be someone to take the knowledge from directly. And this is the foundation, and this is the origin in learning knowledge. And this is the way. And the teacher, he has traversed the path of knowledge. And he has experience with knowledge. And he has seen and witnessed many events in the path of knowledge. Some of them good and some of them bad. So he's aware of the path. He's aware of the ups and the downs in the path. He's aware of the hardships and the difficulties and the roadblocks in the path. He's aware of that which could deter a person on the path, because he has experience. Maybe he himself has fallen into some of those roadblocks or been affected from some of those deterrents. Or maybe his teacher has saved him from that and the likes like this. In any case, he has wisdom and he has experience with knowledge. And many times someone will try to seek knowledge by themselves, and they will read in the works of the scholars alone without any teacher whatsoever. And they will be misguided, and they will be misled, and they will have misunderstandings, and they will misinterpret the text, and they will mistranslate important affairs. They will understand maybe some words according to a linguistic understanding, and the linguistic understanding is not intended whatsoever. Or they will understand the words according to a specific understanding that they're familiar with. But in this particular context, or in this particular science, these words, they mean something different. This terminology, it has a different understanding. And many times the people, they will completely miss these affairs and misunderstand them. And many times maybe they will go astray. So it's incumbent to have a teacher. The Salaf, they used to say, مَنْ اتَّخَذَ كِتَابَهُ شَيْخَهُ كَانَ خَطَأُهُ أَخْطَرَ مِنْ صَوَابِهِ. The one who takes his book as his sheikh, then he'll make more mistakes than he is correct. And he will be a failure. And maybe he will understand some things properly, but in the end, that which he misunderstands will be greater and be more. Will be greater and will be more. And if the likes of this person, who did not have a teacher, and did not benefit from someone directly, after that he begins to step up and pretend to be a teacher, the calamities and the troubles and the trials will be even more. And the one who does not have knowledge, any property, he did not build a foundation, then he steps up to be a teacher, then that which he corrupts is greater than that which he will rectify and that which he will benefit. So the issue of the teacher is very important. And this is something that we must realize, and something that a person, he will desire and he will hope for, and he will call on Allah. He will call on Allah and he will ask Allah to provide him with righteous teachers. With beneficial teachers. Teachers that are free from following desires and whims. Teachers that would help him and direct him. Teachers that are upon the straight path in their creed and their belief. Al-Manhaj al-Salafi, haqqan. And al-Aqid al-Salafiyya, haqqan. And likewise, the manners and the etiquettes of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the like cite this. And this is what is known. This is from the greatest blessings and favors upon a believer. In this life. And as we have seen in our previous class, no teacher, or rather no scholar, is free from fault or free from error or shortcomings. But those who are truthful and those who strive, then their shortcomings are fewer and lesser. And their faults likewise are fewer and lesser than the virtue and the goodness that they have. So therefore, those faults or those errors or shortcomings, they're drowned out in the goodness and the virtue and the benefit that they have and that they bring. In any case, we have to understand this affair here, the status of the scholars and the people of knowledge and those who spread the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that their rank is high and that their rank is lofty and that they have a high status and they must be honored. they have a high status and they must be honored. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Laysa minna man lam yuwaqqir kabirana wa yarham saghirana wa ya'rif li'alimana haqqahu." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's not from us, and he's not truly upright upon our sunnah correctly, and he free from blame, and he is safe in his faith. The one who does not honor and respect the elder, and does not show mercy and kindness to the youth, and does not know the right of our people, of our scholar or our person of knowledge, any of the people of knowledge, the teachers. So this is something again that is very important. For this reason he began like this. And somebody may say, why didn't he begin with the manners of the student? With the manners of the student. No doubt, before you be a teacher, you have to be a student. No doubt, before one he will be a teacher, he has to be a student. But he began with this manners of the teacher, because the teacher, he's the qudwa. The teacher, he's the role model. The teacher, he's the foundation. He's the place where the knowledge is derived from. So therefore there's benefit here. And that is that these manners and etiquettes here, those people who are involved in teaching, they must strive to apply them and abide by them. They must search in their heart and look in their soul and look in their conduct and behavior and their past and see where they are with regards to these manners and these etiquettes. And check for any shortcomings and strive to rectify that for the sake of Allah. Likewise for the student as well. By learning the manners and the etiquettes of the teacher, a student, he will be able to see the signs of those who are truthful and those who are qualified and those who deserve to learn from. Those who Allah knows best what is apparent from them is that these traits are found in them. Then this is the one that will be thought good about him, and he is the one who will be considered yani qualified in this manner. As for the one who has the contrary traits, the traits that the scholars and the people of knowledge and the teachers and the Muslims in general are forbidden from, those traits are seen from him, even if it said he is a great teacher or a great scholar, or even if it's praised by this person or that person, but those traits are found in him, then we will not be deceived. This is all from the benefit of learning about these noble manners here. So the author, he says, أَهَمُّ مَا يُطْلَبُ مِنْهُ أَنْ يَعْتَنِيَ بِهِ أَدَبُهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَأَدَبُهُ فِي دَرْسِهِ. So the most important manners that are required from the teacher to be concerned with and to be diligent with regards to are his manners with regards to his self, and his manners with regards to his dars. The manners with regards to his self, and the manners with regards to his dars. So the teacher, he has many circumstances, many situations that he will be in, and manners with regards to that. The author, he mentioned some of them. And he mentioned here two of them that are the most important. First and foremost, the manners with regards to himself, the way he carries himself, with regards to his relationship with his Lord first and foremost, and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfilling the rights of Allah azza wa jalla, and then likewise his creation. And then his manners and his demeanor, the way that he carries himself after that, and the way that he behaves. And then after that, his manners and his dars. Meaning in his preparation for teaching. And then likewise his manners in tasnif will come whenever he's authoring works. The next one after that he mentioned, wa ta'limihi, tadrisihi wa ta'limihi. So we have his manners, fi nafsihi, and his self, and his manners, fi darsihi, and his manners, fi tasnifihi, in the way that he authors works, and his manners, fi ta'limihi, and his manners in teaching and educating the people. He's saying here the most important of them are these two affairs here. In this manner. He says, Al-Qismu Al-Awwal Adabuhu Fi Nafsihi. Adabuhu Fi Nafsihi. His manners in his self. وَذَلِكَ فِي أُمُورٍ مِنْهَا أَنْ يَقْصِدَ بِتَعْلِيمِهِ وَجْهَ الْحَقِّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لا توصلا إلى غرض دنيوي كمال أو جاه أو شهرة أو تكثير المختلفين إليه أو نحو ذلك كما كان عليه سلف الأمة. So he says, from these affairs, or the first issue here is his manners and his self, and in this there are issues here. From them is that he would intend by his teaching the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning he will intend to seek the pleasure of Allah alone, and to hope to have the reward from Allah alone, and to be from those who are admitted into paradise and to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. And this is what he's seeking. This is first and foremost with regards to his intention. He's looking for the reward of Allah and the pleasure of Allah and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. لا توسلاً إلى غرض دنيوي. His teaching must be that he would intend to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, not to strive to reach some worldly benefit or gain, like wealth or rank or status in the hearts of the people, or fame, or to have a lot of followers and the likes like this. And this is how the Salaf, they were, the Salaf of this Ummah, radiallahu anhum, they were sincere in their teaching, and they spread the knowledge and taught the people and raised them and cultivated them for the sake of Allah, seeking their reward from Allah. Not to have status, not to have rank, not to have the people praising them, not to have wealth or money or position in society, not to have a lot of followers, not to have a lot of likes and the likes like they have today, trying to have as many followers and likes on Facebook, or how many watches they can get on this channel or that channel. This is not the purpose and the aim and the goal. This is not the purpose and the aim and the goal. Rather, the purpose and the aim and the goal of teaching is to seek the reward from Allah, and to seek the pleasure of Allah, and to be a means of bringing good to the people, to be a means of bringing good to the people, and prohibiting the evil, and clarifying the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and establishing the tawheed in the land, and establishing the tawheed in the hearts of the people, in the homes of the believers and the likes, and establishing the sunnah, and clarifying the halal and the haram, seeking the reward from Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, hoping to raise the statement of Allah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the aim and this is the goal. This is the aim and this is the goal. So this issue here is with regards to al-ikhlas. No doubt about that. This issue here, the first and foremost, the greatest manner and conduct and adab that one must have is the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in teaching, that his teaching is for the sake of Allah. Every aspect of his teaching, his preparation, his teaching, all of his manners and dealings with the people, if he's calm and gentle with the people, he's forbearing and he's patient with those who are slow in learning. Sometimes the students, they don't understand the first time, or sometimes the students, they'll be rude, or sometimes the students, they'll have bad manners, or sometimes the students will do something that's not proper. And it's required for him, we'll see from his manners, is to be patient and to be forbearing and to redirect them in the best manner. But the point right now is to understand that all of that must be for the sake of Allah. That his heart is looking for the pleasure of Allah. That his heart is hoping that Allah would accept from him his teaching. This is a major affair. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this ikhlas in teaching is the purity of intention. And this is the case in general, the purity of intention. And this is because teaching is ibadah. And knowledge in general is ibadah. Knowledge in general is ibadah. Teaching and learning knowledge is ibadah. It's an action of worship. Rather, many of the people of knowledge, from them, Ash-Shafi, rahimahullah, and likewise Imam Ahmad and other than them, have mentioned that the greatest ibadah after performing and establishing the obligations is to seek knowledge. And Imam Ahmad, he said, "Talib al-ilm la ya'diluhu shay, la ya'diluhu shay idha sahhat an-niyyah." That seeking knowledge, nothing is compared to it. Meaning, after the obligatory affairs, for the one who is his intention is correct, for the one who his intention is correct. He was asked, rahimahullah ta'ala, about how can the intention be correct? Yani wa kayfa tasihhu an-niyyah. And how can the intention be correct? And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he says, "An yanwiya raf al-jahli, aw an tanwiya raf al-jahli an nafsika wa ghayrika." That you intend to remove ignorance from yourself and from others. So this is the foundation of the good intention and the pure intention in seeking knowledge. That a person, he would intend to remove ignorance from himself and from others. So it begins with oneself. First, he will rectify his own self, and he will learn that which is proper and correct, and that which is obligatory, in the deen of Allah, upon him, and his self first and foremost, and likewise that which is forbidden and impermissible in one day and one night, and he will be upon that, and then he will continue upon that way until he's firm. After that, he will begin teaching and spreading the benefit and the light that he has been granted and blessed with. And this is also from the beautiful intention. Not only would he intend to benefit himself with this knowledge and learn how to worship Allah upon clarity and insight and have the proper creed and belief, likewise he would intend to help others. And this intention here to help others many times will carry a person to strive even harder. To strive even harder. The fact that a person knows that he's going to benefit others will help him to learn the knowledge precisely, and help him to learn the knowledge in detail and the different points and the clarification of that. Because whenever a person has to explain it to others and he's aware of that, now this requires for him to prepare for that. So the fact that he's preparing to teach another person and to clarify for another person, this helps him in his seeking of knowledge to become more diligent and to strive harder and to be more sincere and making lupt, and he making learning the knowledge precisely, so that whenever he's teaching somebody, he doesn't make a mistake or say something that is wrong or have a misunderstanding or a misinterpretation or forget something and the likes like this. So these are beautiful. This is the beautiful intention here, to intend to remove ignorance from oneself in order to worship Allah upon clarity, and likewise to help others, and likewise to help others. So the point now is that knowledge is ibadah, so therefore it has to be sincerely for the sake of Allah. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned that ilmu salatu sir wa ibadatu qalb. That knowledge, it is the secret prayer. It is the secret prayer, the hidden prayer. Any of the prayer between a person and Allah Azza wa Jalla. Salatu sir wa ibadatu qalb. And it is the worship of the heart. And it is the worship of the heart and knowledge. The knowledge, this is ibadah. Seeking it and carrying it is ibadah. And teaching it is ibadah. And the knowledge is in the heart. And the knowledge is in the heart. It's in the heart. It's carried in the heart. And if the heart is free of sincerity, and it's not pure and clean, and it's seeking the reward from Allah, this knowledge here that is carried in the heart, that is from the greatest and most virtuous actions of obedience. Whenever the ikhlas is gone or left or corrupted, then now that action of worship in the heart becomes the most lowly and the most blameworthy any affairs that he's carrying with him now. It goes from being from the a'la darajat ta'ah, and it's from the highest levels of actions of obedience to the lowest of the low, to the lowest of the low. And this person here that's carrying knowledge in this manner, and he's using it for personal gain and for worldly benefit, he's from the lowest of the low. He's from the low lives. He's literally from the low lives. Even if he seems to be this or that, the fact that he has this intention and he has taken the most precious thing in this life, which is the legislative knowledge and the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the understanding of the religion, it's the highest thing somebody can seek after in this life. The knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the knowledge of At-Tawheed, the knowledge of the Islamic legislation, Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah. This is the loftiest and greatest thing a person he can put his mind on and his eye on and seek in this life. And the fact that a person would take this lofty affair like this and then throw it on the ground and step on it in order to have status in this life and disgrace it in this manner and use it for the lowly life and this worldly life, which the knowledge is contrary to. This is the knowledge of the hereafter. And the fact that he would use it in this manner, now he becomes from the lowest of the low. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. It's been narrated from Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah about this. He says, إِنَّ أَكْبَحَ الرَّقْبَةِ طَلَبُ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمْلِ الْآخِرَةِ. That indeed the most disgusting desire and hope a person could have is to seek the worldly life by the actions of the hereafter. And from the greatest actions of the hereafter is seeking knowledge and teaching. From the greatest actions of the hereafter is seeking knowledge and teaching, clarifying the religion and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So from the most disgusting intentions and desires and hopes that a person could have in his heart is that he would hope to use the religious knowledge and position and status and rank in the deen for personal gains and for worldly benefit. For personal gains and for worldly benefit, waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. Likewise, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, and to clarify, this is not something light, likewise, and it's not something easy. This is not something light, likewise, and it's not something easy. He says, rahimahullah, ma alajtu shay'an ashadda alayya min niyyati fa innaha tataqaddubu alayya. He said, rahimahullah, I never dealt with anything, I never treated anything. Any mu'alajah or ilaj is like going through treatment. Somebody who has a particular sickness or disease, he will have to get ilaj. The ilaj, sometimes he doesn't just take one medication. Maybe he'll take the treatment, he'll have to come back again for more treatment, he'll have to come back for more treatment until eventually, inshallah, he'll be cured. So he's using this word like this, and this is the case of the intention. Ma alajtu, I never treated and dealt with anything. Ashadda alayya min niyati, more strong, more severe, more harsh, more hard on me than my intention. Fa innaha tataqallabu alayya, because it's always changing on me. Because it's always changing on me. So the intention, it can change. A person, he can have the most beautiful and pure intention, but if he's not careful, it can change. The intention, a person, he has to look into himself. Why is he praying? Why is he coming to the masjid? Why is he in the first row? Why is he fasting? Why is he making wudu? Why is he doing these actions of worship? All of them. Why is he seeking knowledge? Why is he memorizing? Why is he reciting the Quran? Why is he learning alif, ba, ta, tha? Why is he learning tajweed? Why? What is the reason for that? What is carrying him to do that? To look into this affair is very important. To check this affair is very important. To be concerned with this affair is very important. Why am I teaching? Why am I giving khutbah? Why am I standing here? Why am I sitting here? Like this. This is something that is of utmost importance, to check oneself, because the intention, it can change. Because the intention, it can change. And if a person, he's not careful, it will overcome him and he can be misled. It can overcome him and he can be misled. And the madakhil of the shaytan are many. The makayid and the madakhil and the masayid, the shaytan, the traps, the snares, the tricks of the devil, they're many. But with regards to the student of knowledge, they're many, they're more. With regards to the student of knowledge and the scholar or the teacher, they're more because of the great benefit that he has. Because of the great benefit that he has. The one who seeks knowledge and learns, and then he becomes a teacher, and then he becomes somebody who is considered a role model, then he will bring much benefit to a community. And he'll bring much benefit to the society, to his family, to himself first, to his family, and to his friends, and those who come in contact with him. So shaitan is even more diligent to mislead him. That's why you have the affair of self-amazement. You have the affair of hastening to become a teacher before the proper time and before he's qualified. You have the affair of jealousy and envy between students or between scholars. He will discuss all of these affairs, inshallah, in a bit of brief detail. But the point now is the intention. This is the most important affair, first and foremost, to rectify that and to intend the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, that you believe in Allah. You seek knowledge because you believe in Allah. You seek knowledge because you believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you seek knowledge because you believe in Islam. And you believe that the legislation and the ruling and the law about Islam, the halal and the haram, this leads you to the pleasure of Allah. So you seek that. So you seek that knowledge, hoping for that pleasure, so you can apply that and abide by that, believing that if you do that, it will take you to the paradise. It will take you to the paradise. This is the reason why a person, he will seek the knowledge. And likewise, after that, the reason why he will clarify that. And after he gets himself on that path, then he will hope likewise to help others be upon that path. Be upon that path. So, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, the means for the intention to be pure. What does it mean to have ikhlas and seeking knowledge? First and foremost, this means, how can a person have ikhlas and sincerity in seeking knowledge? And likewise, in teaching, and they come hand in hand. These manners here with regards to the teacher and himself, they're almost the exact same manners with regards to the student and himself. This, with regards to oneself, the teacher and the student, they have almost the exact same manners. Basically, the same manners. Slight differences. And the fact that the teacher will be sincere in teaching, and the fact that the student will be sincere in seeking, and there's a slight difference there, but they both have to be sincere. They both have to be forbearing. They both have to be patient. They both have to be gentle. They both have to be diligent. They both have to make lots of effort, and the likes like this. So these manners here are very similar with regards to the mudarris and the daris. The mudarris and the daris. So with regards to seeking knowledge, how to be sincere, first and foremost, that a person, he would intend to comply to the command of Allah. To comply to the command of Allah. Allah, he says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That Allah, he says, you must know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. فَعْلَمْ يَنِي تَعَلَّمْ. You have to learn that. In order to know that, you have to learn that. So therefore, a person, he will seek knowledge because Allah, he said that you must know and you must learn that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. An indication likewise that he will begin with the creed and the understanding of the shahadatain properly. This is where he will begin. And likewise, he will intend as well to be from those who carry the sharia. to be from those who carry and preserve the Sharia. Because the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is preserved. It is preserved in the hearts of men. And it is preserved in the books likewise, by writing and by memorization. So to be from those who are carrying that knowledge and preserving that knowledge, to be from those who are carrying that knowledge and preserving that knowledge and maintaining that knowledge and keeping that chain alive. And this is how the knowledge is transmitted until today, from heart to heart. From heart to heart, it's been memorized, literally, the religion of Allah from the beginning to all of the ahkam and the rule from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's memorized and kept in the hearts of men and transmitted in this manner. And likewise, it's preserved in the books as well and transmitted in this manner. Allah, He says, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Rather, it is clear verses that are in the breasts of men who have been given knowledge, and breasts of those in the hearts of those who have been given knowledge. And likewise, He would intend to preserve the legislation and protect it. So to preserve the legislation, this is one thing, and then likewise to protect it. So He would learn and seek knowledge in this manner, and He would teach with this intention to protect the legislation, to be a means to defend the deen of Allah, to clarify the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to spread the tawheed, and to spread the tawheed, and likewise to protect the religion from any additions, from anybody bringing innovations and adding to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that which is not from it, like the birthday, for example, or like making tawaf around the graves, or calling on the dead, and the likes like this. A person of knowledge, he will learn the likes of these affairs in order to be upon clarity with regards to that, and then after that, to clarify that falsehood and defend that, and to be a means to help drag the people away from that. Drag the people away from that. Yani to untie those doubts and those knots that they have been, yani, that have been tied in their hearts, yani, from attaching themselves to the creation, wa iyadhu billah. So then he would intend to defend the legislation, himayat al-deen. So first he would intend al-imtithal li-amri Allahi azza wa jal wa hifz al-sharia wa himayatuha, to protect it. Likewise, from people becoming negligent and taking away from the religion as well. So all of these are beautiful intentions. Of course, first and foremost, any that which the basis of this is that he would intend to apply it himself. He would intend to apply it himself. And after that, then he will be a means to protect it and to preserve it and to clarify it and to spread it. To protect it and to preserve it and to clarify it and to spread it. So he says now, and he's mentioning that after mentioning the obligation of ikhlas and that which he would intend, and then now he mentions examples of that which corrupts the intention, examples of the foul intention. So there's a pure intention, there's ikhlas, wa niyyah as-sahiha as-sadiqah as-salima min ash-shawa'ib, and then after that there's nawaya fasida sayyid, then after that there are many corrupt and foul intentions. And that is, for example, that he would intend to become famous, that he would intend for the people to like him and to praise him, or he'll intend to have lots of followers, and he would intend to have lots of followers and people following him and taking from him and the likes like this. And he would intend to have rank or status, or he'll intend to get some money or wealth and the likes like this. All of these are from those foul and those lowly intentions. He says, now فَقَدْ قَالَ الشَّافِعِيُّ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ. Shafi, he says, رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ الْخَلْقَ تَعَلَّمُ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ عَلَى أَلَّا يُنْسَبَ إِلَيَّ حَرْفٌ مِّنْهُ. Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah, he says, I wish that the people, they would learn this knowledge and none of it, and not one letter would be ascribed to me. And not one letter would be ascribed to me. And he learned this knowledge, meaning the knowledge that is in his books and that he has spread. Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah, he has authored many works, from the most reliable and beneficial works about Islam. But he says, I wish that the people, they would learn this knowledge that I have and I have spread, that are found in my books, for example, and not one letter will be ascribed to me. So what is important in his heart? That he's known, or that the truth is known? That the truth is known. This is an example of the pure intention. يعني الظهور الحق هذا هو المهم. That the truth is known. That the people that know the truth, that the people that see the clarity of the tawheed and the foul and evil and the evilness of shirk, so that the people see the beauty of tawheed and the evil and the foul way of the shirk, and they see the beauty of the sunnah and the benefit of the sunnah, yarhamukallah, and the benefit of the sunnah, and they see the evil of innovation and the foul and lowly way of innovation, so they see the correct way, so they see Islam properly, the beauty of Islam and the greatness of Islam and this law and legislation, and the evils of disbelief and hypocrisy and the ways that are contrary to that. And this is what is intended. This is the whole aim. This is the whole goal. Not somebody who say Imam Shafi, Imam Shafi. Like this lad, that's not his intention. That's not what he wants. Rather, he wish he was not even known. This is what he's saying, rahimahullah. وَقَالَ أَيْضًا مَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدٍ قَطْ أَلَى الْغَدَبَةِ وَوَدِدْتُ إِذَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا أَنْ يَظْهَرَ الْحَقُّ أَلَى يَدَيْهِ. He says that I never debated with anyone trying to overcome them. And I only hoped that if I debated somebody, that the truth would be apparent on his hand. And he meaning that he would say the truth. And he is looking for his opponent. If he's debating with somebody, he never debated him trying to overcome him. And this is also from the most detailed aspect of the pure intention. That a person, if he's debating and he's talking about the religion and he's sharing proofs back and forth with somebody, he will not hope that that person is wrong. That's from the most foul and lowly intention. Is to debate with somebody and to hope that that one is debating with, we will be wrong. And to show that person that one is right, especially if they're Muslims. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Anas, which is well known, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That one of you truly believes or has completed his faith until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So how could a person love for another believer to be wrong? To say something wrong about the deen of Allah. To have that desire rise up in his heart. And to work in that manner. And to argue and to debate. Only hoping the whole while that the one he's debating, his brother in Islam, will say something wrong about Allah and his messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Will ascribe something false to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's hoping for. Whenever he gets it, he's happy. Oh, he rejoices. Yes, I knew he was misguided. Oh, I knew he was foul. Like this, oh, billah, he will never have that intention. Somebody who's sincere and truthful, he will never have that intention. And the example of that is that Imam Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, when debating with someone, the only thing that a person he's debating for them, he's hoping, first and foremost, to clarify the truth, so that the people aren't deceived by the individual. And likewise, he's hoping that that individual, he will himself understand the truth and he will follow that. Not in order to drop him, or not in order to establish the proof upon him so that he will be lost, or the likes like this. And this is how many people have approached these affairs these days. It's as if sometimes an individual, he is on the edge in his deen, and he on the edge in misguidance, in misunderstanding, or in deviation, or he's on the edge in following whims and desires. He's hanging on. Imagine somebody hanging on to an edge, to the edge of a cliff, barely hanging on by the tips of his fingers. And then his brother comes along and looks at him and can't do anything except step on his hands. And can't do anything except step on his hands. And in order to help him fall faster. This is the case with many people. But what is required in this circumstance and situation is to give him a hand. To put your hand down there and pull him up out of that situation and try to help him. Not to try to finish him off and throw him and cast him into the hellfire, into the realms of misguidance and deviation. Nah. That's not the aim and the goal of debating and clarifying the truth. Rather, to bring them out of the darkness into the light. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about individuals, they will be entered into the paradise in chains. They'll be entered into paradise in chains, and he because of the people of knowledge striving, the fighters in jihad, and likewise the scholars teaching. And they will be brought in this manner like this, and until they are convinced and they are brought, yani, to Islam in this manner, and they'll be entered into paradise. So a believer, he's looking for the benefit of the people, not the harm of the people. And in the teacher, this is what he's hoping for in this manner like this. Likewise, from the statements of Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, مَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا قَطْ إِلَّا عَلَى النَّصِيحَةِ. I never debated with anyone ever except hoping to give them sincere advice. These matters here, they continue, inshallah. We'll continue with these after Maghrib. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.